morning, Gracestone. Good morning. How are you? I'm delighted to see each of you here this morning. We are all together under one roof, and we are at the first Sunday of the Advent season. Advent, loosely translated, arrival. We are in the midst of preparing for and getting ready for the arrival, once again, of Jesus come to be born among us. What does that mean to say we're getting ready for arrival? We've been doing this for a long time, and Jesus came some 2,000 years ago. It means that we rehearse through every year this notion that we must prepare ourselves to fully understand what it means to receive Christ once again and anew in each of our lives. And it requires us to pay attention, which we will talk more about in just a few moments. If someone says you are journey proud, and if you have grown up in the South, you understand what that means. Journey proud might look something like this. An announcement is made, trip is coming, the family is excited about the trip. Maybe it's to Disney World, or maybe it's to Grandma's house, or some other place where people are excited about arriving. And so the night before the trip, the children are literally bouncing off the walls, excited about the possibility of the trip. Or for that matter, it may not just be children, it may be adults as well. So if you mention to me we're going fishing, and if you put a fly rod in my hand, and if you say and name the destination, I won't be able to sleep as well. I am journey proud. Journey proud is that great sense of anticipation that something good is about to happen. In a sense, the season of Advent should be a season that's characterized by being journey proud. And it also helps us in this season to understand and know that our worship experience and the whole sense about what is happening in this season is more about expectancy than it is about expectation. There is a difference between the two. So I welcome you this morning to this season of expectancy. If you are visiting with us this morning, we are especially delighted that you are with us. And there are guest registers at the end of every row. And as you pass those guest registers down, it's for every person to sign. But that will help us to get to know you better. And at the end of the service, I will mention another opportunity for those of you who are visiting with us immediately following worship. But as we anticipate this time together, would you stand for just a moment and greet one another before our child dedication?
Edmund MacDonald once read that when God wants an important thing done in this world, or a wrong righted, God goes about it in a very singular way. God doesn't release thunderbolts or stir up earthquakes. God simply has a baby born, perhaps of a humble home, perhaps of a very humble mother. And God puts the idea or purpose into the mother's heart, and she puts it in the baby's mind, and God waits. The great events of this world are not battles and elections and earthquakes and thunderbolts. The great events are babies. For each child comes with the message that God is not yet discouraged with humanity, but is still expecting goodwill to become incarnate in each human life. Will Moody and Annie Hardison Moody have brought their daughter Lillian this morning to be dedicated in this church. They bring her this morning with the words of 1 John upon this event. Little children, let us love, not in word or speech, but in truth and action. Greystone, Lily will understand what it means to be a child of God, not just because Annie and Will are here and her immediate family is here and they promised to teach her, but because you are in this moment partnering with them in this work. You see, Lily needs to know what it means to be welcomed into the church and into the world and how to be a responsible participant in it. As a part of her spiritual formation, Lily needs to know that you will welcome her, love her, care for her as she grows. Greystone, this is an act of dedication not only for the Moody family, but it's an act of dedication for you. You are being asked for a commitment and a promise this morning. And so I ask you, will you, Greystone, teach Lily the lessons of the gospel and show her in word and deed what it means to be a follower of Jesus Christ? If this is your intention and your hope, will you respond by saying, "We will"?
We will.
Will and Annie, Lily doesn't belong just to you. She is a gift of God given to you for a season. It is your calling as parents to help her know what it means to be a child of God. And so I ask you this morning, will you keep her within the reach and influence of the church so that she will learn what it means to be a part of not only just your family, but a part of the family of God? And will you be caretakers in her life and raise her in the ways of faith so that she will learn the voice of God and be able to one day answer that call upon her own life? If this is your intention and if this is your hope, will you respond by saying, "We will"? Lillian Bell Moody is welcomed into the loving care of this church and the good hope that hereafter she may never be ashamed to confess to that faith in Christ which you as a family and you as a community are challenged to cultivate from this day forward. May God bless us as we journey together in the bond of family.
Family, these are going to be your Sunday school teachers and your choir leaders. They're going to be your deacons. They're going to love you, and they are going to teach you about God and about God's love. They are going to be like a family to you. They want you to know that God loves you, and that so does this church. Our youth and our children are going to be the people who you look up to as you grow older. So they too have a responsibility to show God's love and God's kindness to you. So Lily, we're going to pray while we walk. Loving and gracious God, we thank you for this gift. This gift of life and gift of joy. We thank you for Lily. We thank you for her family who has promised to bring her up to know you and has begun that early by bringing her to your house. We thank you for this church and for the family of God that you have placed in Lily's life. We thank you for all of the things that they will teach her and all the many ways that they will show your love to her. May we all strive to be the best example of your love and your grace that we can. In your name we pray. Amen.
Thank you.
Today we light the first Advent candle as we journey towards the Bethlehem miracle celebrating the birth of Jesus. The scriptures today admonish us to stay attentive, to wake up. From time to time, we all need a wake-up call in order to stay tuned in to what matters most. If we are to stay attuned to the movement of God's Spirit in and among us, we must exercise intentionality and discipline, focused on opening our eyes, our minds, and our hearts to God's activity in the world. We might want to ask questions such as these. Have I seen God at work in any of the normal routines of the day? How might God be attempting to speak to me through the troubles and crisis I am facing? Do I need to let go of something in order to be better prepared to welcome Christ into my life this Christmas? Hopefully this year we will be roused from our spiritual grogginess and the dullness of our predictable ruts and give fresh energy to practicing expectancy.
The writer of Isaiah 60 expresses the call to alertness this way. Arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. For darkness shall cover the earth, and thick darkness the peoples. But the Lord will rise upon you, and his glory will appear over you. Nations shall come to your light, and kings to the brightness of your dawn. Lift up your eyes and look around. They all gather together. They come to you. Your sons shall come from far away, and your daughters shall be carried on their nurses' arms. Then you shall see and be radiant. Your heart shall thrill and rejoice, because the abundance of the sea shall be brought to you. The wealth of the nations shall come to you. Let us pray. Lord, we thank you for your love and grace and for your word that guides us. Help us focus on you and be attentive to your Spirit, not only in this Advent season, but every day on our journey. In Jesus' name, amen.
Good morning. Today is the first Sunday of Advent. Advent is the season when we get ready for Christmas. We have four Sundays. This year it's a little tricky because we're going to do that fourth Sunday on Christmas Eve morning, and then we'll celebrate Christmas Eve night. But it's the season when we get ready. So if you're getting ready for something, you usually make plans, right? Okay. So like if I was getting ready for a big trip to Disney World, I'd be making my reservations and planning and picking what I wanted to do when I was going to go there. When we're getting ready for Christmas, what are some things that we do?
set up a Christmas tree. You are right. What else? You go Christmas shopping. Yeah, we have to buy gifts for other people, right? What else do we do? You hang up ornaments on your Christmas tree. We're going to hang some very special ornaments on our church tree tonight. Yes, ma'am. We wrap presents. What else do we do? We're going to spend time with family. I'll explain why yours is different in a second. You have an Advent wreath. I'm so glad you said that. We do have an Advent wreath, and we light candles. And a lot of families like to do devotions and maybe read a little bit and talk a little bit about why we're lighting those candles and help us remember that Christmas, as much fun as it is to get presents and to do all that stuff, it is about giving. And Christmas is about the birth of Jesus. So we want to make sure that we're preparing our hearts for Christmas, not just our houses, right? So I have given you one person, one kid in your family should have an envelope full of stuff.
What is that for?
What is that for? I'm so glad you asked. This is an Advent calendar. And so every day you get to mark it off. And in your packet, there's going to be a list of some really cool things that you can do every day to help you remember kindness. Yes, sir. Oh, the candy calendars? Yeah, those are pretty cool. So let me tell you what's in your packet. In your packet, so one kid from your family should have a packet. And if you don't have yours yet, I'm gonna give you what you need in just a minute, okay? Let me tell you about what's in here. First in here, you do find a calendar. And then in the packet, you're going to find a thing that says Advent devotions. These are things that your family can read together, or maybe the kids can take turns reading. If you have real candles on an Advent wreath, you can do that. Then you also have some coloring pages of some Advent coloring things. I have some kids excited about that. Come on, Julie. And then right here, this one says Illustrated Advent Wreath. This is a packet where you can make your very own Advent wreath. And if you look towards the back, you'll see you can color your own candles and cut them out. I make candles, and there's a place in there where you can tape it and glue it. Your parents will help you. There are all kinds of things. So that's what the whole packet is for. If somebody in your family already has one of the packets, let's get this one to Julie, then I want to make sure that you get the coloring pages and the wreath so that everybody has their own of that. But the devotions are for the whole family, so just the whole family can use that. I want to make sure every kid gets their own coloring book and wreath-making kit, though, okay? So, and I have extras of these if anybody needs extras, okay? Can you pray with me about getting our hearts ready for Advent? Dear God, we thank you for the season of Advent. Let us take this time to prepare our hearts to remember you and to welcome you into this world. As we're decorating trees and shopping for presents and wrapping them and going to parties and doing all of the fun parts of Christmas, help us to remember why we celebrate. Help us to remember that the gift of your Son is the reason we celebrate Christmas. Help us to prepare our hearts as much as we prepare our homes. In your name we pray. Amen. Okay, did everybody get it?
neither the angels of heaven nor the Son, but only the Father. For as the days of Noah were, so will be the coming of the Son of Man. For as in those days before the flood they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, until the day Noah entered the ark, and they knew nothing until the flood came and swept them all away, so too will be the coming of the Son of Man. Then two will be in the field. One will be taken and one will be left. Two women will be grinding meal together. One will be taken and one will be left. Keep awake, therefore, for you do not know on what day your Lord is coming. But understand this. If the owner of the house had known in part what part of the night the thief was coming, he would have stayed awake and would not have let his house be broken into. Therefore, you also must be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an unexpected hour. May God add understanding to the reading of this lesson. Thanks be to God. You may be seated. Holy and merciful God, down through the ages, you sent us your messengers, the prophets, to preach repentance, to urge us to amend our lives, to show us the way of salvation. Even with all of their warnings, the widows and the orphans are still overlooked. The hungry are turned away. There is little justice for the oppressed. And all the while, we tragically turn our attention to lesser things. Comfort, ease, amusement, wealth, power. These shiny trinkets that catch our vision and cause us to glimmer and stare at false light. As we open our hearts and minds to this ancient story of the coming of our Lord, we earnestly pray that we would begin to hear the familiar tune of Mary singing a song, that we would be caught up in the dreams of a faithful man, that we would notice the stupefied silence of an elderly couple's answer to prayer. May these stories and these ancient words bring us into Advent. During this season, enable us to take heed and be ready for your advent, your coming. Give us the grace to make these stories our own, to refuse to attempt to secure ourselves by our own efforts. Give us the grace to look up, to watch, even as our Savior draws near. And as we watch, to make ready. We pray in the name of Jesus, the one who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Let all mortal flesh keep silent, and with fear and trembling stand. Ponder nothing earthly minded, for with blessing in his hand, Christ our God to earth descended. Our full homage to demand. Let's stand together. Would you sing this with me? King of kings, yet born of Mary, as of old on earth he stood, Lord of lords in human. angels, rank on rank, the host of heaven. In rank on rank, the host of heaven spreads its vanguard on the way. As the light of light descended from the realms of Alleluia, 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 Lord Most High.
Will you please join me in prayer? Magnificent God, you created the universe, and your wisdom shines through the laws of nature that we discern. In the incarnation of your Son, Jesus Christ, you worked a miracle to bring salvation. Through your awesome deeds, you light an unextinguishable hope in our hearts. Help our congregation to work together in new ways to tell others your amazing good news. May our tithes and offerings support your work through our outreach ministries. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
say if you stay at a certain hotel that you will sleep so well you will have extraordinary powers and gifts. And so you should hope that your pastor in the interim should stay in such a hotel. But last night I did not. I slept on a floor with either a fraternity having a party to celebrate something, or, as Amanda suggested to me this morning, perhaps I slept in the midst of a bachelor party that was being held on my floor, or maybe it was some other kind of celebration, even a basketball team or something of that nature. But I will tell you that I remember seeing the clock at 11, 12, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, and then my alarm went off at 6 o'clock. I have a gentle alarm. It's one of those alarms that rises slowly. It's set on your iPhone, and it begins to play melodic music. But I just wanted to slap it this morning. Last night, I had no problem staying awake. But trust me, I've had problems staying awake. On one of our journeys overseas with some of our dear friends, we flew from Amsterdam to New York City, and then we took a cab from New York City to Penn Station, and then we took a train from Penn Station to Princeton, New Jersey, and then in Princeton, New Jersey, we got in our automobile and we began driving to Richmond, and somewhere around 1 or 2 o'clock in the morning, every technique known to modern man or science was being exercised on me to keep me awake for the journey. Anne was rubbing my neck, she was slapping me on the face, there were people swirling water around the interior of the car to just keep me awake for the journey. Sleeping or waking, which is it? This morning, as we begin this journey towards Bethlehem, we are admonished in our Christian walk to watch. These scriptures that are chosen for this Advent season often seem strange. That is to say that they speak about this divine notion of the coming of Jesus, not Jesus as a tiny baby in a manger, but Jesus coming in that final cataclysmic understanding of Revelation, where this parousia, this end event, is depicted so clearly. And so it's often confusing to determine, well, exactly what are we doing? But the early church needed this reminder, to be quite honest, to say that what these people had committed to in their personal lives, their fellowship, their understanding of Jesus, some of them having been firsthand and others certainly just secondhand understanding of the trauma of the crucifixion and then the joy and recognition of resurrection, but still sorting through exactly what is it that we are talking about here. And so Matthew takes this time to say to those who wait for Jesus, be alert and watch for the coming of Christ into your life. And so now, these some 2,000 years later, we are still awaiting this final coming of Jesus, but we also wait in new ways because we all need to nurture and to open up and to experience afresh and anew this coming of Christ, not only into the world, but coming into our lives, and could I say most significantly, coming into the life of Greystone Baptist this morning. How is it that we understand this fresh awareness and this new notion of renewed life, an understanding of God's gift to us come in the form of human flesh? What does that mean to us this morning? And what will prevent us from taking this story, which is so familiar, and just placing it on a shelf and paying no attention to the newness that it brings to us and the possibilities of restoration and renovation and revival, if you please, in terms of the coming of Jesus yet again into the world? In Ephesians, the 5th chapter, the 14th verse, the writer of Ephesians encourages those of us that are Christians to awake. In fact, the language is, sleeper, awake, stand up, rise up, be alert. Don't go to sleep at the wheel. And maybe most significantly, pay attention to what is happening around you and within you. I would think that most of us in this room have taken some kind of psychological inventory that identifies our personality types. You may love those exercises or you may hate those exercises. But I would guess this morning, if I were to ask for a show of hands of people who understand and know what their, quote, Myers-Briggs pattern is, you could tell me what your pattern is. People who study such things study the personalities of different pattern types. And what those studies say to me about my pattern type is that I'm the kind of person who can get so invested in whatever is happening that I fail to pay attention to significant things around me and also inside of me. Most specifically, the literature says that I'm the kind of person who might even miss the fact that something is happening with my body that's very significant, but I will blow past it in search of yet another experience and thereby perhaps miss something very significant, an indicator that might suggest that something needs to change in my life. I don't know what your pattern is, but I would think that all of us have a tendency to miss some things related to what is most important about our spiritual lives, not to mention our physical lives. And so this morning we are being issued a wake-up call, if you please. We are being asked to stand down related to our schedules or related to our time-worn understandings of what it means to receive Christ in our own lives. We are being admonished literally to watch out, and the translation there is of a sentry guard, of someone who is to be on guard so that no one is harmed or hurt. It is the kind of watching that is looking out for harm that may be done. It's a direct relationship to those, for instance, who might stand watch on a ship that is in harm's way. And so the events of the last few months with the United States Navy might indicate that there were those who were not as vigilant as they should be in terms of standing watch. This word to us this morning has to do with life and life abundant. And it has to do with whether or not we are actually open and aware of God's activity in our lives and aware of God's activity in the world. And so quite simply, if God could do it, I would assume that God this morning would not be timid or shy, and the alarm would not be just a simple melody approaching a waking time, but rather it would be a shout or a trumpeting to say, you need to simply wake up. Perhaps you had a coach or a teacher or a parent or a friend who at times has helped you by simply saying, wake up to what is going on around you. So often we think of this waking, as we read it in Scripture this morning, as something that we should dread. That this prediction, as it comes across in Matthew 24, is something that should frighten us. That is, Jesus is coming back, and this time Jesus is really upset, and so you better be ready. One of my first sermons preached many, many years ago as a high school student to other high school students was a sermon on watching and waking. And it was a sermon that was intended to scare the heebie-jeebies out of my peers, who I thought were living in such a way that they were dishonoring God. I was a prophet in my own time with my own people. And I have that sermon if you want to listen to it. It's on one of those big reel-to-reel recorders. It went something like this. A young boy has a party. His parents leave town. There's a lot of drinking and smoking and carrying on. And then the parents decide that they have forgotten something. And so they turn around and come back. And the young boy can hear the key turn in the door. And then the door opens. And oh, all heck breaks loose at that moment. And that's just like what happens when Jesus comes back, I said. And that may be true. I don't know, and you probably don't know. But what I do know is that God really doesn't desire to scare us to death about this. But rather, maybe one of the ways we need to look at our watching, our alertness, is to stay alert to the things of God in this period of Advent. To understand that if God does come to judge us, and if we do welcome Jesus anew and afresh in our lives this morning, that we welcome this because here is the time and here is the moment when divine justice takes place, when the ground becomes level, when we understand that the weaknesses that we experience will no longer be weaknesses, but we will see strength. That the unfairness and unevenness of our world, our society, and even our own personal lives will be evened out so that justice will roll. So that we understand that sickness and depression and death will be no more. That things like racism and strife and enmity one person to another will finally be healed. These are the kinds of things that I hope we will think about when we think about the coming yet again of Jesus. And this morning, the reality is this, that we do not have to wait for these things to become reality. That in a sense, the waking up of our hearts and minds to this notion of Jesus' coming has to do with what we do with the teaching and the understanding that we have of Christ already. My sense is that we've already been given opportunities. We already have much light upon which to base our lives. That we already have inklings within us that we have not acted on that would cause us to understand more clearly what it means to say that Christ has come to live in the world. So that C.S. Lewis has said that in these final days of reckoning, if we want to talk about what it means when Jesus finally unlocks that door and comes in, here is what it is. It means that everything will be revealed. That nothing will be hidden. That we will be completely known by others and by God, and we will finally be known for who we are. Our real selves will be revealed. And so in a sense, this coming of Jesus is the coming of the truth and the light and also the hope that comes when we finally understand that we are truly the sons and the daughters of the living Christ. But we need to open our eyes. Barbara Brown Taylor has said that every morning when we wake up, that we should decide to live the life that God has given to us right now. That we should refuse to live yesterday over and over again. That we should resist the temptation to save our best selves for tomorrow. That we should live a caught-up life and not a put-off life, so that wherever we are, that we are ready for God. That ours may be the generation that finally sees God riding in on the clouds. Or we may meet God the very same way that generations before us have met God. That is, one by one, as each of us closes our eyes for the last time. Either way, she says, our lives are in God's hands. And so this morning, we stop. We look around. We look within. And we watch. And pay attention to what is going on, lest we miss the presence of God in our midst. When our son Graham was about 2 years old, we were staring at the Christmas tree one evening in Dallas, and Graham said, "Look, Dad, there's Jesus." He was staring at a tiny manger scene that was down on one of the lower branches of the tree, and I could see that there was no Jesus in that manger scene. And so I said, "Graham, that's a manger scene, and we see the barn and some other little details there, but I don't think Jesus is in the manger. That's a pretty small depiction." Hopefully I didn't use that word. So he said, "No, Dad, no, Jesus is in the manger. Look," and he begins to tug on my shirt tail and pulls me down until finally I am on my knees, and then I lie on my side and I look at the ornament that he is seeing. And as I look more carefully, lo and behold, through that little tiny door, there is a tiny little manger. And there is a baby there about the size of a mustard seed, I would think. And there he is. There is Jesus in the manger. Without the eyes of a child, without the eyes of the heart, but for the grace of God, I might have missed it. This morning we stand before these elements once again, and if anything can assume to be rote or casual, it seems to me that the temptation for communion to be somewhat familiar to us, or even perhaps occasionally through our minds run thoughts like these: when will this be over? Because we have handled these sacred things casually and perhaps without thinking at times. And so this morning, my prayer would be that as we take this cup and as we take this bread, that we might watch for what is happening. What does it mean to say that the body is broken? And what might that mean for each of us and our lives where we find ourselves today? And what does it mean to say that the blood is shed for us for the remission of sin? How do we stay on watch as to what that means in our personal lives? It's another opportunity to be alert, and thanks be to God for that. And so the scriptures teach us that on that night, when I am certain that the disciples did not know exactly what was happening, that Jesus took the bread that was at the table and that he broke it, and that he said to them, "This is my body, which is broken for you. It is a gift from God, and it is not to be missed." Thank you. Dear Lord, as we take this bread, we pray that it might give us strength to be alert to the witness of your presence in our lives and in this world. For it is in Christ's name that we pray. Amen. Jesus took the wine that was at the table and he poured it. It has become to us the symbol of God's outpouring love and of God's grace into each of our lives. It also is a reminder to us to stay alert to the gift of being forgiven in this Advent season and beyond. Thanks be to God for this gift. Irenaeus once said that the glory of God is a human being fully alive. We are fully alive in Christ, and we are in Christ as we receive the gift of this incredible life offered up freely for you and for me. Take and drink. Amen. Turn to the persons to the right, to the left, and pass the peace of Christ for just a moment. We have much to celebrate, and we have much to offer, and this hymn is an opportunity to reflect on our lives, to watch, to listen, to consider, and it may be this morning that as you consider, you would respond, either to join this church, to respond to the call of Christ in your life, or to take the next step. As we sing, would you do it in Christ's love. Chair of our diaconate, Jennifer.
As you know, the deacons have been working diligently to form a search committee for our next permanent pastor. Next Sunday, December the 10th, immediately following the 11 o'clock service, we will have a brief church conference to present the senior pastor search committee for your approval. The details of the motion will be emailed to you tomorrow and also available for pickup in the church office. Please continue to be in prayer for our church as we actively move through this transition period together.
It's so glad to see each one of you here this morning. We're all under one roof, and my thanks to those of you who normally worship at 8:45 who have shifted to 11 through this Advent season. We thank you for that. It is great to see all the faces here this morning. If you are visiting with us, immediately following worship, I will go across the way to what I call the fireside room. I think it is the gathering room. And there's coffee, there's some other things you can munch on, and I would love to meet you and to share more about the church if you so desire, but I would love to see you there immediately after the service. It's literally just right out these doors, right into the other doors. Tonight at 6:30, Hanging of the Greens. I hope that you will be here for this special service tonight. My thanks to the group that traveled to Lumberton to work in mission. There are so many of those kinds of things going on in the life of the church. I'm delighted to be here with you this morning as we close and as we walk back into the world.
Let's sing this together.
As you go this morning, remember that the God who created you goes beneath you as a firm foundation upon which to build your life. That the God that you know in the form of Jesus Christ promises to walk beside you as one who loves you and who accepts you for exactly who you are. And that the God that we experience through the Holy Spirit has promised to blow this Advent season with fresh winds through the corridors of our lives, and give to us deep and lasting peace. Amen.